Welcome, Mike. Tell us how God has had mercy.
All right, thank you. Yes, the pastor almost let slip. This is my 45th anniversary, this coming Tuesday, of becoming a Christian. 45 years ago, Tuesday, May 8th, 1973, I came to know the Lord. And I'd like to read a passage of Scripture, which I'll come back to. Can you hear me all right? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I've always loved that version. This is the version that I first read when I became a Christian, the New American Standard. And I always loved that, behold. It's like, da-da, you know. But I've always felt that way. I had what everybody stands up here and says. I had the usual childhood, except mine was not that usual. I was physically and sexually abused as a kid and grew up to be a very angry and lonely person. And I was sickly also. I was born with a congenital heart defect that I didn't find out about until I was 29. I even got kidnapped when I was like a little older than Amelia. I got snatched off the street by some guy, and the story that's been told me is I screamed so loud that the guy let me out, but I vaguely recall a lady from the neighborhood running down the street after the car and her scolding me. That's kind of what I remember of that incident, her scolding me never to get into a car with somebody that you don't know. So I didn't have the most charmed childhood. And around the age of 10, I decided I was tired of being bullied. I read this little kid's biography of Teddy Roosevelt. And if you know anything about him, he like built himself up. He was an asthmatic. So I decided I was going to do that. So I got into all kinds of sports, even ones I wasn't good at, which was most of them. And well, I started wrestling and boxing, and I mean, climbing hills, doing all kinds of stuff. And I built myself up. And I wasn't going to let anybody push me around anymore. I had been bullied a lot, so that didn't happen anymore. And by the time I was done with high school, I had gotten into drugs very heavily. Alcohol even heavier, and unfortunately I also got into this occult studies group out of the University of Buffalo, which I won't get into, but it had a very negative effect on my life. My world and life view was very jaded. I dropped out of college soon after I got out of high school and started dealing drugs for these mafia types. And I did that for a while until the state police in New York arrested me. And the judge was paid off, and I was able to walk away. But I didn't stop. I just kept doing it. And in the fall of 72, my life was turning more violent. It seemed to me like almost every day. I look back on those times now, and it's like somebody else was doing those things. It's hard for me to reconcile with that. So I decided I was going to go to Florida and get away from that environment. Problem is I took myself with me. So what I was doing in Rochester, I kept doing in Florida. And pretty soon I was in a lot of fights and violence on the workplace, and I worked as a roofer on a crew of 10 black men and Mike Schaefer. And so you can imagine that the younger guys anyway tried to give me a hard time, and that was all right. They just weren't going to get away with it. And so between that and doing a lot of drugs, I felt like I was spiraling out of control. On February 3rd, 73, I was in a head-on collision on 441 in Orlando, and my head went through the windshield of the car. Needless to say, I didn't feel real well after after that. And I've been knocked out 9 times, and I didn't like any of them. But that was the worst. And anyway, I was just recovering from that and feeling really depressed, and I had started doing morphine for the pain. And I won't get into that story, but I was getting myself a habit. When we hitchhiked one weekend up to Jacksonville to see a rock concert, and on the way back, my friend John and I'd known John since the 5th grade, John and I got picked up hitchhiking by, it turns out they were escaped convicts from, they had killed a guard in Ohio, and were working their way down to Miami. And I don't know why they were telling us these things, and I wasn't sure it was true, but they had a sawed-off shotgun, and it was pointed right at me. And at that moment in my life, I looked at my life, and I said, this is nuts. I've done nothing. This isn't what it was supposed to be. My mom's gonna never know that I'm dead in a ditch somewhere out here in the boonies. Because in those days, the Orlando area wasn't like it is today. It was just wide open ranch land, scrub trees. I mean, there was nothing there. But amazingly, they got into a fight with each other and were pointing guns at each other while they were driving. I mean, it was a scary situation. And suddenly we came to a red light out in the middle of nowhere. To this day, I don't understand this. I've sometimes said that God put that red light there. As it turns out, it was a red light for a firehouse that was built kind of ahead of the time. And so they had an access road, and they were going to be coming down in a minute to go to a fire or something. So they stopped the light, and suddenly there was traffic stopped in the middle of nowhere on the outskirts of Kissimmee, Florida. And I said to these guys, this is where I get out, right here. And I opened the door and got out, and I said to my friend John, who was kind of paralyzed, I said, John, are you coming? And I reached in and I grabbed him and pulled him out, and they drove away. I was extremely depressed after that. This was like March of 73. For the next month or so, I was just so depressed. I felt like my life hadn't done anything with my life, and I was really addicted to drugs, and I was getting into a lot of fights. I was working like a dog, pushing rock up on rooftops. And I went to a Led Zeppelin concert in Tampa, and these people came up to me and asked me if I wanted to know Jesus and go to heaven. I said, no, I don't want to do that. They said, why not? You don't want to go to hell, do you? And I said, yeah, that's where all my friends are. And I blew them off. Unbelievably, 10 days later, I'm down in Fort Lauderdale. I got laid off for a week for fighting on the job. They gave me a week off. So I'd gotten a curious letter from my sister, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm visiting in Fort Lauderdale. By the way, I became a born-again Christian, blah, blah, blah. And that one little sentence was like, now that's interesting. And there was like a glimmer of hope. Not that I knew anything about it. It was like a glimmer of a possible way out of the terrible life that I had. So I hitchhiked down to Fort Lauderdale, and I got there. Was still doing the same things down there that I was doing up in Kissimmee, except I had to hide it from my sister and her girlfriend. And then on the Tuesday night, they took me to this place called The Greenhouse in Fort Lauderdale. It was an outreach of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, and it was aimed at people in their 20s, even early 30s. So everybody was really nice to me. I was really floored by that. I kind of felt like, who are these people? Do they have some sort of, what do they want from me, you know? And they didn't want anything from me. They wanted good news for me, but I didn't understand that. And then after the dinner, everybody went off to classes and stuff, and I was asked to stay and listen to a little speech by this lady, Virginia. And she said something that I'd read before. It was by Blaise Pascal, that everyone has a God-shaped vacuum in them. And we try to fill that vacuum with everything but God. And that made a lot of sense to me, because I'd been filling my life with everything but God. But when it came for a time to raise our hands if we wanted to call on Christ as Savior and Lord, I remember thinking to myself, nah, I'd rather have a cigarette. That's the truth. And so I'm on my way out the door to get a cigarette when these two guys approached me and said, would you like to talk about this? And I said, not really, but I'll be nice. You've been very nice. So for the next 45 minutes, they tried every argument I learned later, just knocking down smoke screens and barriers that people throw up against the Lord. And I had them all, and they answered them all, but I just didn't want to. And so finally, the place was clearing out, and I was heading for the door for that smoke when this guy, Neil Ganzel, came up to me, and he said, so, Mike, what did you think of this? And I said, it's really got me thinking. I mean, I know my sister and Beverly are coming back on Thursday night. Maybe I'll come back then and turn my life over to the Lord. You know, talk about wanting to get out the door, but... he said, well, that's great, Mike. That's really good. But let me ask you a question. How do you know you won't be dead by Thursday? Well, let me see. I'd just gone through a windshield of a car, and I had just been picked up by escaped convicts. And I was in fights every day. And I was floored. I was absolutely floored. For once in my life, I was speechless. And I said, I don't know. I do not know. And he said, tell me, what's keeping you from turning your life over to Jesus Christ right now? That's the greatest sentence that's ever been spoken to me. What's keeping you from turning your life over to the Lord right now? And I looked at my life, all the things I disliked, all the things I've just recounted to you. And it was like, nothing. He said, why don't we pray right now? All right. So he said, pray after me. I thought he meant pray after him. So he said a prayer, and I didn't say anything, so I think he was a little disappointed. Then I started praying, which, where that came from, I have no idea. That's the Holy Spirit. And I said a prayer, which I don't remember now, and I didn't realize that everybody in the entire house had stopped breathing for a minute, and everybody was quiet and praying along, and then they all came up to me and were congratulating me. And as I recall, that cigarette did not taste all that good after I got outside finally, and it wasn't long before I gave them up. But that was the night, May 8th, 1973, that I came to know Jesus Christ. And like the behold, all things have come new, I was never the same. I was literally never the same. I mean, I'm still a sinner and still did bozo things, but did not live that life anymore. I walked away from it completely. I went back to Orlando for a week. I thought it was going to be for like a month or so, but I got my IRA check real quick, so I didn't have to stay there. But anyway, I remember saying to my friend John, I can't do this anymore. And as a postscript, my friend John went on with his life doing drugs and everything for the next 35 years. And in 2005, he became a believer. And when he finally got in touch with me around 2014, he said, I had always remembered you saying to me, I can't do this anymore, and just walking away from that life. That really impressed him. Not impressed him enough to do anything about it for 35 years, but 30 years. But, and now John's a paraplegic. And he's had a rough life, but he does know the Lord. And I was just talking to him a week or so ago, and I told him I was going to mention his name. I mean, the other thing was, and it's the amazing grace of God, a year after I had run into those escaped convicts, I'm on the Fort Lauderdale beach witnessing. And we started witnessing to this couple in their 40s. Turns out they were believers. So we're just making small talk, inviting them to church on Sunday. It was a Saturday. And I said, so what do you do for a living? And he said, "Oh, I'm the superintendent of prisons for the state of Ohio." And I said, "Really? Well, let me tell you a little story." And so I told him about what these men told me, that they had killed a guard and had killed somebody else on the way down. And he finished the story for me, that they had killed a number of people on the way down and that I should have been killed too. And that they were shot to death in Miami about a day or two after I saw them. And by the FBI and the Miami Metro. And so it's funny why the Lord allowed me to hear that story. It just boggles my mind. Everything about that whole time period is just, it stands out in my mind as something that was unique for me anyway. And I've never looked back. And I thank you. I'm so excited to be able to give my testimony. Thank you.